WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In her new book, The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction, historian Linda Gordon recovers a lost incident in the history of the Wild West whose meaning reverberates far beyond its time. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction is a fabulous book, a spellbinding narrative history whose foundations rest on solid scholarly detective work. This is the kind of rigorous but engaging book that academics dream of writing. Its author, Linda Gordon, is an eminent women's historian whose previous books and articles, including The Standard History of American Birth Control, Women's Bodies, Women's Rights, have pretty much reached only an academic audience. But with The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction, Gordon has unearthed a long-forgotten story that's not only astonishing in its own right, but that also engages big, vexed intellectual questions about race, class, and gender in a dramatic, accessible fashion. No wonder Gordon quotes that famous line from the poet William Blake as the epigraph to her book, "To see a world in a grain of sand." The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction opens with an unforgettable image, one of many to appear in the chapters to come. On September 25, 1904, in New York City's Grand Central Station, 57 toddlers, all of them orphans of Irish Catholic descent, were squeezed into a special sleeping car on a train bound westward. They were accompanied by three nuns, four nurses, and one male child placement agent from the New York Foundling Home, which was then the premier child-saving institution in the city. The orphans had already been assigned to couples whose good Catholic credentials had been checked out. The journey away from New York would not only give these orphans a shot at upward social mobility, but as Gordon stresses, would transform them from Irish to white. For in turn-of-the-century New York, the Irish, along with other immigrant groups, were classified by their ethnicity in categories other than white. When the orphans, however, reached their journey's final destination, an isolated Arizona mining town called Clifton, something terrible happened. There to greet them was a crowd of eager white women who assumed that the orphans were up for grabs. Imagine their outrage then when they saw those pale Irish toddlers being placed into the arms of Mexican women. The priest in Clifton had been following his bishop's orders to locate good Catholic mothers for the children. Because this priest was newly arrived from Belgium, he was relatively oblivious to distinctions of skin color. In the awful hours that followed, the children were kidnapped from their assigned Mexican parents by a band of armed white vigilantes. The nuns and nurses, deserted by their male colleague and by the priest, were determined to save the orphans' souls, now in the hands of white Protestants. Alone, they faced a lynch mob of some 400 white townspeople, most of them, by some accounts, women. Run out of town the next day, the nuns, together with the foundling home, initiated legal proceedings to get the orphans back. The case went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, which concurred with an earlier ruling that stated that the party best able to provide for the children was not the degraded half-breed Indians, but the good women of the town. Gordon notes that no Mexican voices were heard at the trials. A silent image that speaks volumes, however, is embedded in the testimony of the foundling home attorney. He recalled that one of the Mexican mothers he visited showed him the clothing she had made in preparation for her child. Two red flannel skirts, two white skirts, one undervest, one red dress, underclothing, and a great deal of cloth that she had not yet sewn. Gordon alternates the chapters in which she recounts this arresting narrative with other chapters in which she carefully delves into, among other things, the history of American adoption, copper mining and labor relations, the so-called civilizing role of women on the frontier, Mexican immigration patterns, and most fascinating of all, the malleability of racial categories and the historical factors leading to their construction. In its dramatic sweep and scrupulousness, Gordon's book reminds me of the majestic works of the late and very much lamented journalist J. Anthony Lucas. But what sets The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction apart from his books, and particularly apart from other superb narrative histories, is that this is a story in which women are the primary actors, the monsters, the misguided, the victims. The narrative histories that dominate the bestsellers list these days are all about male adventures. D-Day, the Lewis and Clark, and the Shackleton expeditions. Gordon's book, however, treats readers to a gripping but unsentimental story about daring public assertions of female authority and the force of female desire. In the tradition of the very finest historians, Gordon makes us appreciate how very complex the truth of the past and its cast of characters really is.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Great Arizona Orphan Abduction by Linda Gordon. Coming up, Keith Jarrett's new solo CD. This is Fresh Air.